Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to this Rediscover Hour here in another festive time of the Church. I hope you made it to Mass yesterday, All Saints Day. What a great day to celebrate All Saints. I've probably said it before on air, but probably not for about a year now. So I'm going to say it again. All Saints Day is, please God, the day where most of us will probably be celebrated by the Church militant. I hope if I have a shot of making it to purgatory and then on into blessed glory into heaven, I have very small hope of actually being canonized by the Church. But we have a universal call to holiness, a universal call to sainthood, and All Saints Day is when we celebrate here as the Church militant the saints that are known to us, the canonized saints, and the saints who only God knows. And so it is a wonderful time of the year to celebrate. Today, Friday, if you're listening on Friday anyway, it is All Souls Day, and just a great day to remember those who have gone before us. I'm sure that for all of our listeners, there's just no question about what death of a loved one has touched us in some way, shape, or form. And it is an excellent time to pray for those who have gone before, to lift them up in prayer, to pray for the repose of their souls, to go to cemeteries and pray. That is a tradition that as a Catholic I first had to learn about, but then to go and take on myself. It's an excellent time. And you know, speaking of cemeteries, just to wax prolific about that for just a moment, I have met so many people who say that they enjoy visiting cemeteries. Now, the funny thing about it is that almost all of them feel compelled to say ahead of time, I know this may sound weird, or I know that makes me weird, but I like going to cemeteries. And I just have to tell you, if you're one of those people, that's not weird. It's not weird if we trust and believe in what we say we trust and believe in. If we trust in the Lord of eternal life who promises us hope and eternal life, that our bodies will one day again be reunited with our souls in glory as we hang on his promises in faith, then know that that is a place, cemeteries are meant to be a place of rest and of peace. That's why we pray, rest in peace, right? And so it's perfectly appropriate to enjoy visiting the cemeteries just when you do so, especially if you do so today, Friday on All Souls Day. If you're listening Saturday or Sunday, continue on through the month of November. There is still much spiritual benefit to be had by going to cemeteries and praying during the month of November for the repose of the souls of the dead. And so go and enjoy it. Just remember to pray. Remember to pray that God's mercy would shower down upon us all. And that for those who are a part of the Church suffering, because we are all part of the one holy Catholic and apostolic Church, right? Those who are part of the Church suffering in purgatory, that our prayers do indeed do them good. And so let's not just go seeking an indulgence for ourselves, but let's go in looking for applying that indulgence to someone who has come, who has gone before us, or to pray for all of those who have gone before us. So that's my encouragement to you as we get kicked off in this Rediscover Hour here at the beginning of the month of November. And since it is the first weekend of the month, it's time for our Great Catholic Parishes segment as well. Father Bodine, who's the pastor of the Church of St. Peter in Forest Lake, is with us to talk about a ministry to widows and widowers. That's going to be something that we want to cover and listen attentively to, because those who are in that position, you know the sorrow of which can come with separation, and you know what it is like to pray for a loved one. Also joining us is Jason Adkins from the Minnesota Catholic Conference, just in time for the vote. We're going to be talking about what it means to be faithful Catholic citizens and what does that actually look like. He is back in studio with us. Also joining us a little bit later on in the show is Michael Podleski, who serves is in the communications department with the Archdiocese. He is the multimedia communications coordinator for the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. He's going to be talking to us, very interestingly, I think, about how to use social media in a faithful manner. So we have got our Great Catholic Parishes segment, we've got faithful citizenship, and then we've got faithful presence or faithful use of social media. So all of this requires faith, and it is that same faith that will call us to commit this show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So if you would pray along with me, I would be grateful as we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're headed into our first break. When we come back, Father Bodine from the Church of St. Peter in Forest Lake, talking about ministry to widows and widowers. Stay with us.
Catholic United Financial now offers Medicare Supplement Health Insurance. At 65, you can enroll in Medicare for your health care expenses, but Medicare only covers part of the cost. The answer? Medicare Supplement Insurance from Catholic United. It can help pay expenses Medicare doesn't cover. Catholic United can help with Medicare Supplement, Part D, dental, and vision coverage. Call 651-765-6555 for a quick comparison quote. See how much you can save. Catholic United Financial. Competitive pricing, easy enrollment, hassle-free claim service. And best of all, we're a Catholic company that honors your faith with a track record of people helping people. Call right now, 651-765-6555, or find your local rep online at catholicunitedfinancial.org. Medicare Supplement Insurance from Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. We are talking our Great Catholic Parishes. What is Great Catholic Parishes? I'm glad you asked. It is a segment that we do on the first weekend of every month here on the Rediscover Hour, highlighting some of the great stuff that our Lord is doing in and through our parishes scattered throughout the Archdiocese. Joining us now is Father Bodine, who is the pastor of the Church of St. Peter in Forest Lake. He grew up in Montrose, Minnesota, and he was the first priest to be ordained from the Church of St. Mary of Częstochowa in Delano. An avid gardener, enjoying travel. In fact, he just returned from a pilgrimage to Ireland this last summer, and he'll be leading another to Italy in 2019. Father Bodine, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Great. Thank you, Patrick. Glad to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the program. Now, I'd love to ask you all about, since I'm Patrick Conley here, I'd love to ask you about the trip to Ireland, but that's probably better done off air. But I'm hoping that you found some faithful people yet still in the country of Ireland.
Oh, certainly. It's a great opportunity to be with parishioners and to visit those great holy places, to actually be at the tomb of St. Patrick, to go off to the Cliffs of Dover, to be in Dublin. Is a wonderful opportunity, and to witness the faith, to see the faith that it is still alive in Ireland, that people do practice the faith. So it's very
wonderful. Good. I'm glad to hear it. Wonderful. My own ancestry is glad to hear that as well. All right. So let's move on to St. Peter's in Forest Lake. Now you have this ministry to widows and widowers. How did this get started?
That's correct. When I first arrived at the parish, we began to notice, and it's true, I'm sure, of all of our parishes in the Twin Cities and throughout the world, that people die. Of course, we're celebrating today All Souls Day.
Right.
And, of course, those people have been, a lot of them married, some of them for 40, 50, 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when one of their loved ones passes away, it becomes a traumatic moment for them. They've done things, they've come to Mass on Sundays, and maybe they go off to brunch or something someplace. And they quickly realize that that loved one's no longer there, or they feel perhaps the fact that when they go out in a group, they always did it as couples, and now here they are by themselves.
Right.
They feel alone, and they feel kind of in an odd or awkward situation, and they begin to eventually isolate themselves within their home and stuff, and they don't continue that social life or that family life that the church is there to offer them. Mm. And so we began to see this need growing as more and more people, it's like, what happened to so-and-so? What happened to so-and-so? And we thought, we need to reach out to them. The church offers so many opportunities. You know, we do it from birth to death. There's all kinds of opportunities for our young kids. We have our Catholic schools, of course. We have different ministries for those that are our youth, for adults, Bible studies, so on and so forth. But we began to realize that there was a piece missing. Hmm. And that piece missing was to this group of widow and widowers who had lost their loved ones. The families, of course, are there for the funerals and stuff. They're there to support them. But that quickly fades away. You know, 2-3 weeks later, families are going back to work, and their mother, father, aunt, uncle, whoever it may be, finds themselves alone.
Yeah.
And so we felt we need to reach out to them as well. If the church is meant to be family, we then need to reach out. These are all of our children, and we need to reach out to them as well. And so that began kind of that impetus for the widow widowers ministry in our parish, and to open it up to others as well.
Okay, so this is a relatively new ministry, you're telling me, just before we started the show here. Is that right?
That's correct. Yep, in the parish. We had never had it before. It started in about 2014.
Okay.
Is when the ball kind of got rolling.
Yeah.
And we've continued to develop it over the years. You know, we didn't really have a guide to go off of that said, this is how you do the ministry. Mm. And so it was just kind of a shot in the dark where I called together some parishioners and said, what do you think about this? Do you see this need in the parish as well? And they said, yes, we certainly do. And we know that it's not just our parish. We want to reach out to others as well. And I was open to that. I said, yeah, definitely. It's not just our parish that we're ministering to. All God's people are welcome to join us, those widow and widowers that are in need.
That's wonderful. So it's not just the parishioners. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. open to anyone. Okay, so what sorts of things do you do to minister to widows and widowers to make them not feel so alone?
Right, yeah. A couple times a year, we have a morning of reflection that we do on a Saturday morning where the priest, I have myself and my associate, will offer a talk to them. And it's on a variety of different topics. Sometimes it's just simply dealing with grief itself and what they're facing, this loss in their life. We offer other social events as well to the people. Sometimes it's just getting together to play cards, play games. Mm. It sounds so simple, but yet it goes so far for these people. And one of the things that we're very specific about in this ministry is that we didn't want it to be a dating service. We didn't want people to think that we're setting them up for a new relationship.
That's
or anything
danger
like that.
At any age, isn't it?
Right,
youth
right.
or I mean, not youth, but young adults or all the way up to widows.
Exactly, yeah, right. Exactly. And so we said, no, we're not going to do that. But we want this to be a place where they feel welcome. Again, they're coming by themselves, a lot of them, and we want them to feel welcome in this atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And so we've done that. We've also done excursions where we've gone out doing visits to different locations. Maybe it's a visit to our beautiful cathedral here in St. Paul, or maybe to the Basilica, where we spend that day with them, and then maybe go out to lunch. And again, they don't feel that awkwardness that they're the only one by themselves. Mm-hmm. They realize that all the people that are gathering there with them have also gone through this same situation. They're all kind of in that same boat. We also wanted it, too, to be a little bit of a network system. Sometimes you have a spouse who the other spouse took care of all the finances. You know, how do I balance my checkbook? I don't even know where to begin doing something like that. Who plowed the snow in the driveway?
Right.
Don't know where to begin. Don't know even know who to turn to or who to look for. And so by having them come together in this ministry, they can begin to ask other people, you know, how do you do this? Or who do you get to do this? And it works very well where they kind of network and begin to learn from one another ways in which they can help themselves and begin to grow.
It's a fascinating point because just what you said, I only observed that once I lost my own mother about a couple years ago now, that there were so many things that she did that my dad and I had no idea how she did it, when she did it. And we've both been on this road of discovery ever since. But this networking thing, that's pretty key right there, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's amazing, too. Some of these little things that we take maybe for granted, to balancing the checkbook, having the snow plowing and stuff done, when they discover that, it not only helps them to get through their day-to-day lives, but spiritually. These people grow. You see them come alive. They're more active again back in church. They want to be involved. They look for other opportunities to help others that are in need as well. So it's a beautiful ministry in the fact that it it ministers not only to them, but it's helping to grow those that are dealing or suffering the loss as well with other family members. Mm-hmm. So it's a great opportunity.
What's the age range of people that come? I mean, I would assume that it would be mostly older, but you have any people who are on the younger side?
We do. We have a few of them that are in their late 50s, early 60s that are coming. But generally, it's mainly those that are in their late 70s, 80s, even into their 90s that are taking part in this ministry in the parish.
And you said before that it's not just for your own parishioners, but outsiders too. So how many people show up to a typical event?
That's correct. It varies time to time. We can have as few as 15 to 20 people. We can have as many as 30, 40 people.
Yeah, that's a lot.
In an event.
Okay, wow. And you said the talk that you give, that you and your associate gives, and is that once a month? Is that what you said?
We do that twice a year. So usually
twice a year,
In the fall and then again in the spring.
And I assume that's there at the parish.
That's correct.
At St. Peter's, okay.
Mm-hmm. It's usually on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, okay. And these excursions and you're doing all these things. So are your parishioners the ones who are actually putting the logistics of these things together?
That's correct. Yep. We have a couple of parishioners who do all the organizing and stuff for these events. And then people, we sometimes have to RSVP for an event if it's to a specific location. Otherwise, they're just welcome to come, just to show up. No reservation needed. Just come.
Right. Well, obviously, we need to ask, okay, if people want to find out more, should they just contact the parish?
That's correct. Yeah, the best way to do it would be to contact the parish, and that phone number for the parish is 651-982-2200, and they can ask for Lisa, who is our pastoral care person.
651-982-2200 and ask for Lisa. Okay. Wondering, first of all, if you're still in need of assistance or volunteers in terms of putting together the logistics of these things, are you looking for people to help out with that as well?
Sure. We're always looking for parishioners or anyone else who would like to volunteer in this ministry. They're always welcome to do so.
Okay.
So, they're welcome to join us.
And is there any kind of a charge for the things that you do with those members?
We do. It depends on the location. Sometimes where we require the reservation, there may be a small charge, but we keep it to a minimum fee. It's not an expensive event. But there might be a small fee involved with it. Otherwise, just to come on a regular basis, no, there's no fees or anything charged.
Okay, and since this was it was out of your impetus, is what I understand, that you just asked a few parishioners if they thought this would be a good thing to do. You have any vision about where this might go in the future, or where you'd like it to? Would you like to see it develop into something bigger yet, or is it pretty good the way it's going now? Or what do you think?
Well, we're pleased where it's at, but we're open to whatever God's leading us to do. If he wants it to grow bigger and bigger, so be it. Who knows, it might be a ministry that other parishes in the Twin Cities are looking forward to starting and stuff, and we'd be more than happy to help them out and to give them some ideas or where we've been or where we're hoping to go in the future as well. So we're happy to be a resource to those parishes.
Yeah, because you said you didn't have a guide, but maybe now you need to write the guide.
Yeah, that could be. That could be.
Because, Father, I know you don't have anything else to do, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Our beloved priest. Mm. Wow. Well, this sounds like a fascinating opportunity for people, widows and widowers, to get involved, to meet other people. I got to say that my biggest worries about my dad when my mom passed away is that he would fade into nothingness in terms of relationship, that he would cut off all other people. And this is exactly the type of thing that, thank God, he didn't. There have been a lot of people looking in on him But this is exactly the type of thing, I think, to dissuade people from that, from sinking into grief, depression, loneliness, and all that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's a wonderful ministry. God bless you in that. And speaking of blessings, I was wondering before we let you go if you would be willing to give an on-air blessing to all of our listeners.
Absolutely. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Father Bodine, the pastor of the Church of St. Peter in Forest Lake, thank you so much for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So, if you're reflecting on this and on losing a loved one and that sort of thing, it's something that, well, I think it's something that was never obviously intended by our Lord in the perfection of creation. And then to see that separation is actually something that our Lord does not intend. That is the opposite of love, isn't it? Love brings things together, right? Love gathers together. You talk about the gathering of the tribes of Israel, but we can all place ourselves in that. That's what the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church is all about, is bringing people together, because that is the root and foundation of love. Our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our Blessed Trinity, is bringing three divine persons together into unity of nature, and we are reflecting that. And death brings about separation, and that's what we don't want. But again, great hope for widows and widowers at Church of St. Peter in Forest Lake, as well as great hope for us being all brought together in the mystery of God here on this All Souls Day. Well, joining me now in studio to transition a little bit from that great hope into, well, is there great hope for our country, our state, Jason Adkins is, I'm not going to go on that. Jason Adkins is with me again from the Minnesota Catholic Conference. He's served as the executive director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference since March of 2011. He's a regular presenter at parishes and organizations around Minnesota. He's on all sorts of these types of radio and television shows, sharing about what the Lord is doing in and around, especially through the Minnesota Catholic Conference. So we are pleased to have you back. Jason, welcome back.
Always a blessing to be in the hot seat with Patrick Conley.
Hot seat. That's exactly right. That's what I'm going to start calling it, you know. All right. So I told you before the show, I always feel compelled to do this, and I'm sorry that you have to keep explaining it. But just in case somebody doesn't know, it's okay not to know. They need to learn. What is the Minnesota Catholic Conference?
So the Minnesota Catholic Conference is literally the conference of bishops, the bishops of our state, just as there's a U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. This is a local version of that. But what we really focus on here in Minnesota is assisting the bishops in their role as shepherds and teachers. First of all, as shepherds in their pastoral care and solicitude for all Minnesotans. The bishop is the bishop, not just of the Catholics in his diocese, but of everyone.
Everyone, that's right.
And so we go to the capital and bring the bishops public policy initiatives that they believe serves human dignity and the common good out of their concern for everyone, not just Catholics. We serve the community and serve everyone, not because they're Catholic, but because we're Catholic. The second thing is really helping the bishops in their role as teachers. And if we call Catholics in the pew to be faithful citizens, then we need to give them practical tools and ideas and resources to exercise that responsibility of discipleship. We can be missionary disciples in the public arena. And so the staff of the conference, we assist the bishops in that teaching role to help the people in the pew live that great responsibility.
Mm-hmm. And speaking as one of those people in the pews, how can I become a more faithful citizen? Because that's what I understand I'm called to.
And really, it goes back to what you were just talking about with Father Bodine. It's about relationship, right? Mm-hmm. The importance of not isolating ourselves. We know from the ancients and in a view that the church has adopted that the person is a social and political being, right? So we are made for relationship.
Yeah.
And there are all sorts of communities for which we're made relationship. And a community, really, if you go back to the root of the word, is a sharing of gifts, mm-hmm. right? So a family is a community, right? But also our actual political communities or our communities, that is a sharing of gifts as well. And so we can look at faithful citizenship is really part of that sharing of gifts. You know, it's a great conversation about how we order our lives together. Now, it often looks like a power struggle, and that's why people sort of stay away from it, right? Is that modern politics often denies that reality of the person's social and political nature and makes it a real power struggle, competing factions, et cetera, et cetera. But what Catholics should and need to model to the rest of the community is that idea that this is something greater. This is a greater vocation here. It's our coming together in friendship and discussing how we ought to order our lives. And so it starts from just being willing to offer your gifts and sharing your gifts and bringing them outside of maybe your comfort zone from your family or your business or your church or school or whatever, and bringing those into the broader context of one's community, offering perspectives and our view about how we think we should order our lives together.
All right. So I just got to jump in here and say that it's striking my funny bone because, you know, the age old advice that the two things you never talk about around the dinner table are politics and religion. And so here we are on a Catholic, a religious radio show on a religious radio station, and we're talking politics here, and you're talking about politics as friendship here. So it's flying in the face of the wisdom of the ancients here, Jason, to talk about politics and religion. But you're saying that that is something that we need to do. We need to bring it to the fore. But the environment's not always very conducive to having good, rational discussions about these things. What do we do?
Yeah, it's become a lot of power struggle. It looks like a dog eat dog world,
yeah,
where the inside of the hit Netflix TV show House of Cards.
Yes,
do we choose Aristotle or we choose Machiavelli? Right, and that's kind of the dynamic. The wisdom of the ancients, which the church has embraced, or the wisdom of Machiavelli, which his prince was on the index of banned books for many years for good reason, because it distorted the real true nature of politics and what it is. But we have to think of it in terms of, you know, how do we pursue the good, right? Instead of how do we impose our will on other people? The church exists looks at politics as an idea of service. Pope Francis says that politics is one of the highest forms of charity because it serves the common good.
Nice.
And a good Catholic meddles in politics, not because we seek to impose our will on the rest of everybody else. We have no legions. We have no armies. All we have are the tools of public policy and the offer of friendships. So when we think about relationships with legislators, congresspersons, public officials, when we talk to them, we're not simply trying to, always demanding that they do something or trying to force, threatening them, well, if you don't do this, then I'm going to vote you out. If we change the dynamic and respond to and work with legislators as friends, we're not always going to agree, but we come to them as a resource. And legislators, that's the secret that no one really knows, is that they want to hear from their constituents. Mm. They want to hear from you because no one has a monopoly on knowledge. They're relying on their constituents to come to them with the issues of the day and to offer their perspective. No one can keep track of everything, so they rely on citizens. They rely on legislators, rely on lobbyists, people offering information in a way that's there as it serves as a resource. And it's amazing when you embrace that model of civic friendship, how you can tear down these walls that separate us, right? Mm-hmm. If you start going in and threatening someone and saying, well, I'm going to impose my will upon you, that's when the walls go up. So what Catholics are called to be in the public arena are bridge builders, exercising that mode of civic friendship. And indeed, that can be evangelical in nature, right? I mean, all of this is a way of sharing the love of Christ. We do that when we share those truths, which are built into the fabric of nature by our Creator. But we also are evangelical and missionary in the public arena when we model a different way of acting in the political arena. Not a power struggle, but as a mode of service, as Pope Francis says, one of the highest forms of charity because it serves the common good.
Okay, so you've given us the encouragement, but many of us need some honing of our skills. What can we do?
Well, our election year message from the Minnesota bishops to the community, it's this theme of form your conscience, inform your vote, and transform your state, not conform to the ideologies, right? So it's
form,
inform, transform, don't conform. You can't give what you don't have, right? So we need to form our consciences with those right principles for acting properly in the public arena. Prudence, that forgotten virtue, is acting rightly at the right time, but we can't act rightly without the right principles. So we need to form our conscience in the context of Catholic social teaching and the social doctrine of the church. But then when it comes to the issues of the day, how do we apply those principles in a particular context?
Yeah.
Now, we as the Minnesota Catholic Conference would not be doing a service to the community if we weren't giving people practical ways to make this happen. So whether it's guidance on voting, which is only the first step to faithful citizenship, only one piece of that puzzle, but also helping them interact with their legislators. So we created the Catholic Advocacy Network to be that one-stop resource that with a click of the mouse, you can communicate with your legislator about important issues affecting the community and the common good. And then holding events like Catholics at the Capitol, which we'll do again in February of 2019.
Nice.
Practical ways in which people can come together and model that very idea of civic friendship that I was talking about, to be formed in important issues, to be formed in faithful citizenship, and then as a Catholic community going to the Capitol together and engaging in that great conversation about how we order our lives as a community.
So backing up to the video itself from the bishops, the message from the bishops is in video form, right?
Correct, yeah.
So you can find that where, on your website?
Yep, mncatholic.org. Again, that's mncatholic.org. And on our election resource page, we have an election year message from the bishops, a novena for the election, which
nice.
We're already halfway
yeah,
into that
right.
now.
Mm-hmm. It's never too late to join a novena.
Never too late. You're never too late to pray, exactly.
That's right.
So a number of video resources, questionnaires for the candidates. It's still not too late to ask questions of the candidates, where they stand on different issues. So a lot of great resources when it comes to election and forming your conscience. And we're still a few days away from the vote, so plenty of time to do that. And again, yeah. those resources can be found at mncatholic.org.
I know I, for one, am always looking for a reliable place to at least think through some of the issues that are involved and that sort of thing. And I got to say that the resources that are available on your website are outstanding in terms of that. I mean, just as seeking to be a faithful Catholic in the voting booth as well as in my citizenship. So I'm grateful for that. Thanks for that. So it is, as you said, just a few days away from the vote now, midterms coming up. So let's say somebody comes up and says, you know what, I'm just fed up. I'm not going to vote. But a faithful Catholic, what would you say to encourage them to do so?
Well, it's very, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu, Patrick. So are we going to be at the table or are we going to be on the menu? So
I love it.
One of the messages of our election year video was to really help Catholics understand that, you know, there's a lot of pressure to vote party line, for
yeah,
example,
right.
or to become part of one of the political tribes.
Yep.
And, you know, our bishops assure people that, you know, in some races, you might just find both candidates to be obnoxious and you can't in good conscience vote for them. That's okay to skip a line, right? Mm. But within that big ballot, and there's a lot of different races up this year, right? There's mm-hmm. two U.S. senators, the governor, the attorney general, the whole state house.
Yeah, this is kind of important.
Yeah, it's right. So maybe there's a race that you're just like, these two candidates, I cannot in good conscience vote for them. Maybe you vote for a third party. Maybe you skip that section on your ballot. But there's so many important issues and races that we can't just simply ignore the whole process. There's something for everyone to vote for, even if it's for your soil and water conservation district director.
All right.
County commissioner, et cetera, et cetera. There's always something you can get informed on and vote on those big ballots. And so I'd really encourage that. And indeed, our bishops, one of the things we wanted to do is to let people know it's okay to not go straight party line. It's okay to leave some of the spaces blank. It's okay to vote third party. There's so much pressure to conform.
Yeah.
But we think it's about informing your vote, informing your conscience, and then taking the step after Election Day to start yeah. working to transform your state.
Right. And that falls perfectly with the idea of that this is not imposing a will. This is not a power struggle. This is about informing one another. Now I'm starting to use your verbiage here, but it is about—
Good, it means it's working.
The brainwashing is working. No, it's great. It's good stuff. But it's about being a— politics is friendship, about helping one another in terms of what we understand as the common good.
That's right. And people are going to be disappointed on Election Day, and invariably,
yeah.
right?
Well,
their
right.
candidates aren't going to necessarily win. But again, we have no enemies in the public arena. Our battle is against the powers and principalities of this world.
I read that somewhere.
It is a spiritual battle, more or less. And we cannot treat even people who identify with issues that we disagree on the opposite party, et cetera, they are not our enemies. We have to look at this as friends. And even if you disagree with a legislator on important issues, you can still work with that legislator on a number of other issues. So we have to approach this as a task of friendship. And if we're believing Christians and if we live our faith publicly, we don't want to be identified with politics in the way of as a power struggle. We don't want to engage in that sort of tribal mentality. We want to transcend that and work prudently in the public arena, but really make sure that what we're really about is modeling a different way of politics, not as the power struggle, but as one of friendship, even with people with whom we disagree. That's really state, what we call statesmanship. I think one of the marks of statesmanship these days is working together with whomever, to be willing to be open to and in working with everyone, even with whom you disagree. And I think that's the important point.
Boy, that's
having the courage to work with people with whom you disagree, eschewing tribal politics because of the sake of human dignity and the common good on particular issues. That's the statesmanship and the friendship we need today in the public arena.
It's about getting the priorities in line and priorities
right.
That's right. Putting our
seek first the kingdom and all these other things will be given to
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Right? I've read that as well.
Yeah. Somewhere.
Somewhere. Right. Right. Well, Jason Adkins, Executive Director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference, as always, it's a pleasure to have you on the Rediscover Hour. Want to break it down for us just one more time. Form, inform, transform, do not conform.
That's exactly right. And again, the resources, mncatholic.org, election year resources, but we're also podcasting now. We've had a lot of great guests. People can always see our, even if you're not online, Faith in the Public Arena column appears in the diocesan newspapers around Minnesota. So we're really working to get those resources into as many formats and venues as possible for people to get engaged on the task of faithful citizenship.
Very good. Important work that you're doing, Jason. Keep it up.
Thanks. Keep us in prayer. God bless.
Will do. God bless. All right. We are going to take a break. Wow, that was a great opening, boy, segments of our show. But when we come back, Michael Podlesky is going to talk to us about responsible use of social media. Rediscover.
Secularism is a spiritual disaster because we're built for God, and we know that.
Auxiliary Bishop of Los Angeles, Robert Barron.
All the pleasure, all the money, all the power, all the honor that the world can give you, there's still this restlessness in the heart. It's a restlessness for God. And so the secular ideology that flattens life out and says, no, you can be utterly satisfied by these finite things, is doing deep damage to human beings, especially to young people. Because young people are taking in this ideology through almost every movie, every song, every commercial. And what that does is it breaks the spirit and leads to deep unhappiness, deep alienation. See, that's the role the church plays in society. If we get marginalized by a secular society that sees secularism as the default position and religion as kind of a nice hobby that some people have, that's doing deep damage to society. Because we're the ones who remind people of this longing of the heart, who remind the world of what satisfies it.
Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant radio.
I believe in a blessing I don't understand. I've seen rain fall on the wicked and the just. Rain is no measure of his faithfulness. He withholds no good thing from us.
And
no,
we're back in the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Perrin, our producer. Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. And brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now in studio, Michael Podlesky, who's the Multimedia Communications Coordinator for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Welcome to the program, Michael.
Good morning. Thank you.
Yeah, good to have you with us here on this November day. So break it down for us. Why does the Archdiocese need a Multimedia Communications Coordinator, and what exactly do you do?
Yeah, well, first of all, that title's not very descriptive of what I do, so I'm essentially the social media and digital media person.
Okay, social media and digital media.
So we need to have outreach in all avenues.
Yeah.
And social media is probably the largest area right now to be in, so it's important that we meet people where they're at.
Mm. And so the Archdiocese is looking for someone to keep up with that, and that falls to you. That
falls
your
to
line,
me. Yeah,
right?
It's a lot of time actually, because people are always engaged. Three in the morning, they're making comments.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, that they're plugged in and they're turned on, I guess. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, let's talk a little bit about. So you first of all, you're responsible for Are you responsible for the content as well as say monitoring what's out there and what's what possible new venues are there as well?
Yeah, for the content, I primarily do the Catholic Spirit content. I help with the overall archdiocesan stuff, and I also work with strategy and kind of advisory capacity for other departments within the archdiocesan umbrella. to talk about best practices, what channels you should be on, how to use them, concerns about legality, you know, there's copyright law and all that sort of thing.
There's a whole host of issues, I can imagine. So you're starting to bring up some of the things that we definitely wanted to talk to you about. So like your position, but in a more maybe personal manner for a lot of our listeners, the question exists is that, well, how do I be a faithful Catholic in these social media environments, whatever that may be? How can I express my faith well in those in that sort of environment? What advice would you give?
Well, I think sort of along the St. Francis idea of living by example, right? But you can do this sort of writ large now, depending upon how many friends and followers and that sort of thing you have. You know, don't be afraid to post about things you're doing in your faith life. Post when you're going to Mass, post when you have an adoration hour or helping at a soup kitchen or going to a cemetery, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe not a selfie at the cemetery, but, you know, tell people that you're there.
Excellent point. Yes. Okay.
And as far as other things, controversial type matters and that kind of thing, I think you need to be bold. But you need to be bold in sort of a subdued way.
Okay.
You need to, rather than debate, maybe enter into teaching. Maybe look at explaining things. Years ago when I taught religious ed, before my class, I told people that's what I'm doing. I'd throw out the topic. This is what we'll be talking about with 9th and 10th graders.
Wow.
And people always had questions about it, a lot of times anyway. And then we had good discussions right there on my Facebook page with all sorts of people that I've known from my lives that, you know, that I don't normally see.
Right. And what about in terms of venue? It seems to me that some social media is, how can I put this delicately? Some, and I'm not necessarily asking you to name names, but do we need to be aware of, for instance, what kind of platforms are out there, and then what might be more, are there platforms that are more conducive to having a good faith representation and those that are maybe in it for other things?
Well, there, I have a poster at my desk that has hundreds and hundreds of different channels.
Is that right?
And I'm sure a lot of them would be things to stay away from. But
yeah.
You know, be in places where you're comfortable being. You know, different people in different parts of their lives are more comfortable in different platforms, and that's where their peers and family tend to be. So be in those places. You know, speak the truth, not your truth, capital T truth. Speak truth where you're at, and you can't go wrong.
Yeah, yeah. So what about in terms of, you know, those who are basically engaged with social media just to keep up with friends and that sort of thing? Is there a way of faithfully doing that as well?
Yeah, I think that's that idea of showing how you're living your faith life.
Yeah.
You know, in an occasion or all the time, however the Spirit moves you, if there's something that's really on your heart that you want to speak about, and again, not in a debating way, but maybe a teaching sort of way, go ahead and be bold. Be bold on that. I think Jesus told us to be prepared to lose even our family. So we shouldn't really be too worried about losing Facebook friends, right?
Excellent point. Yes, I would imagine we shouldn't be too awfully worried about that, right? Oh, this guy unfriended me on Facebook. What a horrible way. So what about are there any particular topics that you would say steer clear from altogether?
You know, I guess it depends upon your friends and your audience.
Okay.
You know.
Consider your friends and your audience. Okay.
And there are some things that are really hot button, and stay away from it unless you're prepared to talk about it a lot.
Right.
Like I know on the Catholic Spirit comment areas, primarily Facebook, on the website as well during the Kavanaugh hearings, there was all sorts of things that I had to delete. There was a lot of things that were good, but a lot of things I had to delete. So if you're doing that in your personal life, if you're going to do something really hot button, be prepared for it. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe make sure you've got the night off. I don't do a lot of those things in my own personal life that much anymore because I just don't have time. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to debate with people over that kind of thing. But, you know, if it's on your heart and you feel moved to do so, but just be prepared.
Yeah.
Prepared to for the consequences.
All right. That's good. Well, you said be prepared. So that's having the night off. Any other ways that we can prepare for something like that?
Well, I think, I think you really just need to know your faith.
Mm-hmm.
You just speak from a faith perspective, but you have to have that grounding. That has to be at the base of it. And, you know, stay away from invective and really all things in charity, you know, be charitable in all of your posts and all of your comments and that sort of thing.
So you bring up charity, and our former guest Jason Adkins talked about the church is sticking more with Aristotle than Machiavelli, which thanks be to God for that. But Aristotle, the life well lived is the virtuous life, right? But now we have this kind of virtual life, interesting interplay of words there. We have this virtual life through social media and our presence online. You mentioned charity. Any other ways that you can think of that you might exercise the virtues online?
Well, again, I think example,
yeah.
You know, just to when you're speaking, speak from your heart, but speak in that charity. And if you're showing your life where you're living a virtuous life, where you're practicing the virtues,
mm-hmm.
and not with, you know, braggadocio, but you're just sharing your life. You're like, you're sharing, I don't know, whatever you're eating that night.
Yeah.
You might as well share that you're going to your adoration hour.
There you go.
Tell people you're praying for them.
Yeah.
You know, ask for, you know, maybe some sort of intentions or that kind of thing.
Great idea.
If you're prepared enough, I generally don't think about it till I get there. You know, I usually post that I had gone to Mass, not that I'm going to Mass because I don't have time to do it in the parking lot.
Right. Yeah, that's good. And I guess in reflecting on it too, you've already talked about in terms of prudence, knowing or saying the right thing at the right time. So that's something that we need to be prudent about what we say, what we put down on our social media accounts and when. You've talked about courage, being bold. So standing up in that way as well. And I suppose there's room for temperance as well, isn't there? So you're not there, you're not on your social media, you're not living your virtual life more than you're living your real life.
Right. Well, yeah, we always put our best foot forward on social media. Mm-hmm. So continue to do that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if you do need help, obviously you can ask for it. But yeah, if we're putting your best foot forward, like because I'm eating at a fancy restaurant, right?
Mm.
But put your best foot forward in your faith life too.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, don't be afraid to let people know that you sometimes fall short.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Yeah, expressing our own vulnerabilities, not oftentimes done when we view it all as a power struggle, right?
Right. Right. And it can be a risk because people might just ignore it because they don't know what to do.
Right.
You know. But you know, there's often prayer chains and that sort of thing going on. So,
mm-hmm. Now I realize the dynamics are a little bit different, but with all the things that you've just recommended in terms of our own personal presence on social media, do a lot of these same principles apply when you're, say, posting something for the Archdiocese?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, especially posting things in charity, and there's no need to. So I do a lot with the Catholic Spirit, so definitely we're putting controversial stuff up, but there's no need to poke people unnecessarily. But if there are stories that are gone, we need to talk about them, we need to put them up there and give a venue for people to react and have discussions and that sort of thing. But there's no need to unnecessarily poke people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have in the church a lot of people on either side of different political issues,
mm-hmm.
Hopefully not on faith issues, but a lot of political issues. So as far as what I do with the Catholic Spirit, we need to put those out there. Those are in the news. Those stories have to happen. But again, all things in charity. And then I really have to keep an eye and make sure everybody else is doing things in charity.
Yeah, well, you mentioned having to delete a few of the posts in the wake of the Kavanaugh trial and all that sort of thing. So what would prompt you to delete a post or a comment that somebody would make?
Sure. Anything off topic.
Okay.
So maybe there's something we haven't posted about because we don't have a story on it yet, and someone wants to talk about it, and they'll post about that on something completely different. Mm. So we don't want that. Anything in all caps, I don't even read, so don't even bother. I'm just taking it off.
There's the tip of the day right there. Right. Turn your caps lock off. Okay.
It's seen as yelling, and it's rude, and people don't like it.
Right.
I generally will delete anything with outside links if I don't know what those links are. Exceptions, Relevant Radio, EWTN, St. Thomas. I know what those links are, but there are some other links. I don't have time to follow them and look through everything on that website or that channel. I also look for really just things that are not necessarily not in charity, but things that are just not forwarding the discussion. It's maybe pushing it towards a way that it doesn't need to go, towards a different topic. It's maybe not off topic, but it's kind of pushing on its way off topic, trolling, that kind of thing. Somebody just throwing something in there to kind of stir the pot. We delete that sort of thing as well.
So what I'm not hearing you say is that you're not deleting comments that put forward a different viewpoint than you want.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. I will delete things that misrepresent Catholic teaching.
Okay.
You can have an opinion different, but you can't say the church teaches A and B when the church doesn't teach A and B.
Right.
We have a responsibility to have good teaching on our website.
Without a doubt, yeah. So, and again, as you've said, this eats up a bunch of your time. It's pretty much all you do?
It does, yeah. I check things in the morning before I go to bed. My phone is constantly beeping, so.
Wow. God bless you in that. I can say that, although I am active on a few different social media sites, I can say that there comes a point in the day where I'm just like, shut it off. I don't want to hear the beeps anymore. I don't care who's responding to what comment.
It can be draining, but it also can be very energizing, too.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of excitement and a lot of good discussion going on.
Right. Coming at it the right way. Well, you better hit us with a website or two just so people know how to get in touch with the Archdiocese. They should know, but also about where you're represented online.
Sure. The Archdiocese has a website, and I'm drawing a blank on it. I think it's archspm.org.
That's correct, yeah.
The Catholic Spirit is thecatholicspirit.com.
Right. Good to have the in there, the
it,
Catholic Spirit.
It is the. If you don't do the, you'll be visiting Metuchen, New Jersey.
not a bad place to visit.
Or someplace in Texas. I forget. There's a few Catholic spirits around. We have different representations. We are on Pinterest, believe it or not. There's
nice.
Some good Lenten meals there. We are on Instagram. We are on Twitter, Facebook. I think that covers it. There's quite a few. We do have some different lists, and you can get on the Catholic Spirit newsletter by going to thecatholicspirit.com and filling that out. And then we also have some flock note things that go out, so you can get text messages from different departments in the Archdiocese.
Yeah, wonderful. Good way to keep in touch with your Catholic faith when you're online. So wonderful. Michael Pitaleski, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour, and God bless you in this very important work.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. All right. We are going to go to our final break. As we do so, we've got a ton of stuff. Paul's going to help me go through the calendar of events coming up, so stay with us. Rediscover.
Catholic United Financial now offers Medicare Supplement Health Insurance. At 65, you can enroll in Medicare for your healthcare expenses, but Medicare only covers part of the cost. The answer? Medicare Supplement Insurance from Catholic United. It can help pay expenses Medicare doesn't cover. Catholic United can help with Medicare Supplement, Part D, dental, and vision coverage. Call 651-765-6555 for a quick comparison quote. See how much you can save. Catholic United Financial, competitive pricing, easy enrollment, hassle-free claim service. And best of all, we're a Catholic company that honors your faith with a track record of people helping people. Call right now, 651-765-6555, or find your local rep online at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org. Medicare supplement insurance from Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Blessed All Souls Day to you, Paul.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's a great day.
It is a good day. It's a good day to pray, but you know what? It's a good day to think about where we're going in our faith lives.
Yeah.
So we got a few things.
Where we're going for eternity.
Exactly. Exactly, because one leads to the other. What do we got?
Well, we've got discerning and using your charisms. It can change your life, your own life, your family, your parish, and the world. Explore the ancient teaching of the Church on how the gifts or charisms of the Holy Spirit work in our life and in the life of your parish. The Church of the Nativity of Our Lord in St. Paul invites you to join them for a one-day called and gifted workshop. Saturday, November 10th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To register for the workshop, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org.
The mission of the Worldwide Marriage Encounter is to proclaim the value of marriage in the church and in the world. Marriage Encounter weekends are a special time for married couples to get away from all the distractions and to learn the communication tools needed to help connect with your spouse in healthy and constructive ways, which will deepen your intimacy and connectedness. Keep your vocation strong. This retreat takes place from Friday, November 16th to 18th at Franciscan Retreats and Spirituality Center. For more information and to apply for the weekend, please go to WWME.org.
Encounter Christ in the Mass with a 4-week Bible study with Father John Eckert. It starts on Wednesdays, November 28th through December 19th, 7 to 8:30 p.m., Holy Trinity Catholic Church in South St. Paul. Topics include the theology of the Mass, the organic development and form of the Mass, as well as the liturgical calendar. Not nearly as complicated as it may seem.
Amen to that.
Just detailed. Participants can expect that this study will enhance their knowledge of and appreciation for the greatest reality on earth. Cost $20 per person. It includes lecture, materials, large group, Q&A, and a snack. Register online. Visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org.
Hey, men, have you been to a Catholic Watchman rally yet? If not, well, mark your calendar. Thursday, November 29th, God willing, I will plan to be there with you from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at St. Nicholas in Elko, New Market. The evening includes Eucharistic adoration, confessions, dinner, and a presentation by Archbishop Hebda. A free will offering of $10 is suggested, but it's not required. Please register online by visiting the events page at rediscover-faith.org or contact my friend Enzo Randazzo at randazzov@archspm.org.
Begin your Advent season with the Tidings of Comfort and Joy Advent Day Reflection on Saturday, December 1st, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Hear from Father Byron Hagen and Elizabeth Kelly as they speak on the meaning and importance of the Incarnation. The day includes Mass, Confession, Eucharistic Adoration, Light Breakfast, and Lunch. All are welcome. Space is limited, so register early. Find out more and register by visiting the events page at rediscover-faith.org. Yeah, Advent is just weeks away.
I love Advent. My favorite liturgical. I know we're supposed to like Lent, but I love Advent so much.
Yeah. Advent is beautiful.
It's so good. Well, you know what? Coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour, the Archbishop will be with us, but not that Archbishop.
Oh?
Actually, Maronite Archbishop Samir Nassar from Damascus, Syria, along with the director of our Archdiocesan Center for Mission, Deacon Mickey Friesen. They're going to be with us to share about the relationship between our archdiocese and the Archdiocese of Damascus, which makes sense because Paul had his conversion on the road to Damascus.
That's right. And he's the patron saint of this archdiocese.
Absolutely. So also joining us will be Sister Lenore Germscheid, who will discuss the retirement fund for religious and people that we know very well here at Relevant Radio, Mary May and Karen Fryhammer, are going to be on the program with us as well as they talk about the mission of Relevant Radio here in the Twin Cities. It's an important mission and a good reason for tuning in. In the meantime, folks, go to church, and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.